You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The completely redesigned ClevelandBrowns.com is coming to an internet near you tomorrow. Make sure you log on and check it out. We're very excited about the new look and feel of ClevelandBrowns.com. And, of course, there'll be all sorts of revisions to our mobile apps as well. So you'll love what you're going to see. I know I do. Joining us now for a new segment that are called Three Really Good Questions with the three-time Super Bowl champion, Jerod Cherry. Jerod, how you doing?
What's up, Vic? How you doing?
Doing
Jerod,
good. Long overdue.
Yeah.
We almost forgot what you sounded like.
Heck, me too. I was hearing Tomo in my sleep.
Yeah, we needed that. We needed a little Tomo connection with you. Well, let's do this. Let's get this thing started today. And again, we're going to do this each Monday with you, Jerod, around this time on CBD. Which quarterback is your top pick after all the pro day workouts?
After all the pro day workouts, you got to go with Johnny Manziel. The guy put on the helmet, he put on shoulder pads, and he gave a pregame speech for everyone that attended, thanking them for attending College Station, so you have to be impressed with that. And he went out there and put on the show. Teddy Bridgewater, you can't say the same thing. An amazing thing, too, is that Blake Bortles had 8 missed passes, and people are still saying that he had a great pro day. So I have to say, after those three main guys, that definitely Johnny Manziel right now is at the top of my board or my leader list as far as the prospects at quarterback for the Browns.
So did the pro day workouts change your rankings? Did you have a different set of rankings before the pro days?
Yeah, actually I had Bridgewater ahead. And a lot of people say pro days don't mean anything, but they do mean something in this regard. You know all eyes are going to be watching. You know everyone's going to be paying attention to what you're doing. And how do you handle that pressure? Because there is pressure there. You have to deliver in a situation where it's a perfect situation. If you can't do that, that shows me that there is some issues with your game, even though it may be not a football simulated situation, but the idea of how you handle and deal with pressure comes to mind for me.
So how much stock do you put in those pro day workouts? Is it something that you just look at more for quarterbacks or for position players? You know, how much, what total piece, let's say your evaluation pie, as it were, how big of a slice is the pro day in that versus watching all the game tape for all the years, the combine, et cetera?
For me, it's 25-30, but it's more so the psychological standpoint. What am I getting from a psychological element from this guy? Is he consistent in how he handles pressure and how he deals with it? Is he giving me the same body language that he gave me in practice or that he gave me in football games? So I'm really doing a psychological evaluation of him. And once he gets out there on the football field, how does he deal with everyone watching him and knowing it's all about him? So for me, it's about 25-30% range, because I do believe that you can garner and gather continually information from attending a pro day.
All right, that was a second half of the second question. This is the third and final official, because we've got to keep this. Three-time Super Bowl champ gets three questions. DeSean Jackson's available now, as you know. Do you want him on the Browns, and what does his impact, if he ends up here or anywhere, on a locker room mean? And, look, you can talk about this from the perspective of a player. The New England Patriot team that you were on took in other players with a lot of baggage before.
Definitely. And with DeSean, it's obvious that no one from the Eagles is missing him, because I saw no tweets or texts coming out of that locker room saying, man, we're going to miss DeSean, we're going to miss number 10. I didn't see any of that. So that lets you know right there that he's not a team guy. At the same time, we do know he's a very talented guy. And if I'm Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, and I look at the landscape of what I've inherited with the Cleveland Browns, I have to be saying to myself, realistically, I got 1 or 2 years to prove myself based on what I've seen take place in the past 2 years. So if it's about improving my chances of winning and getting a very talented guy on my football team, I'll go with that. The only question that would hold me back is if I believe Brian Hoyer can look DeSean Jackson in the eye and tell him, shut up and catch the football. If Brian Hoyer possesses that type of leadership and command and he's my quarterback, I have no problem signing DeSean Jackson.
And you came from a program in New England where they're not afraid, Bill Belichick not afraid to bring in more troubled players, I guess you could say. Aqib Talib, the time that they brought him there, was a guy who had a bad off-the-field reputation and nurtured him in their system. Do you think the Browns are at a point yet where they can do that as they try to kind of do this culture change with guys like Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner, Paul McQuiston, et cetera?
On the defensive side, I think Dansby and Whitner, if DeSean played cornerback or he was a safety, it would be no issue. Dog. Yep. hit somebody, shut up and be quiet, or we're going to punch you in the mouth. It'd be that simple. That's why I go back to Brian Hoyer. It's going to be an issue of, can he command that hole? Because what's Josh Gordon going to tell DeSean Jackson? Joe Thomas is not going to tell him anything because Joe Thomas is a quiet leader. He leads by example. And the rest of that offense that's there, now Ben Tate doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to get anyone's face as well from that standpoint. Not to say he's not a physical guy because we know he is as a runner. So it's going to fall back on, can the quarterback, the leader, handle DeSean Jackson? Because he is a malcontent. He does give you issues. He does have a problem with doing things when he wants to do them as opposed to when he's told to do them. So you need someone that's very strong that can say, you know what, dog, you're not going to get the ball unless you start listening and following in my directions. And you need a special person to handle that type of guy in DeSean Jackson.
All right, we're going to officially rename this topic Three Topics because we asked you about four or five questions.
Gerard gets a follow-up with Gerard.
We'll call it Three Topics with Gerard, the three time. We're trying to stay with that three thing.
I like three T, Three Topics, Three Time.
Good stuff, Gerard.
All right, take care, guys.
Thank you, my friend. All right. So let's talk. We've got some tweets to get into. And by the way, we don't want to forget Donnie in Painesville who asked. We didn't say it to Donovan, but we actually have texted him and told him, Donnie, that you said to say, hey, you go back with Jim Donovan. So he appreciates the fact that you wanted to reach out to him. What else do we have in the way of tweets that we want to get into? Any good ones that you wanted to address?
I really think that the consensus from our listeners today was that, you know, they're not too into going after a guy like DeSean Jackson. Yeah. Now, there are some people who want him. They think it makes us – this was when Cody Hortzman said it makes us stronger on the field and respected in the streets by bringing in DeSean Jackson. So I'm not sure really if that matters. I think that hopefully the team will have that kind of – credibility as well. We do have a comment from Chris Carter, who's somebody who battled some off-the-field issues during his career, came back to have a very, very good one, talking about wide receiver DeSean Jackson, the advice he would give him.
Well, number one thing, you got to handle his business better. You got to stop talking about his contracts openly in the papers and the media. You know, when people pay you to do a service, you sign that contract to do that service for a long period of time. So you can't be one of those people always bringing up your contract. And also, you just have to grow up. You got to be a businessman. If you want to stay in this league and use your gift and make money, then you're going to have to make some adjustments to your game and your overall image. This is your choice in life. You either control your image or your image will control you. So he can take control of his image and get himself back with the NFL team and be back in the Pro Bowl in 2014. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
True words from Chris Carter. I liked his breakdown of that. All right, more tweets. Megan Rock, what do we got?
Yeah, Browns fan, he gives a different take on what everyone else was saying. He says, it's getting old finding reasons not to take someone. Let the coaches work with him and his issues, and he'll be great. And he'll be a great addition. 40-year fan, okay. Sorry, all in.
You know, that's an interesting take, Nathan, because a lot of people tend to go about the analysis first of, why you don't want the guy when someone else doesn't want him. That's like the natural instinct. Fact is that guys do get to play for other teams. I've heard of worse situations, innuendo, whatever you want to call it, surrounding a player.
Of course. Players
have gotten picked up, and I'm not necessarily saying that they went on and did great things, but they definitely have gone on and had more success. I hear that point of view. I'm trying to keep an open mind. I'm not trying to say don't pick him up. Don't worry. I'm saying investigate or at least look into it. But my point, like yours, is why I don't think it ultimately works out. It'll come down to the money. He's going to have options.
It's a money issue for me, and I don't want to bid on him in a draft that is as deep as this one is at wide receiver for a team that really needs one more piece at wide receiver, but will also have to pay soon enough Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron, Joe Hayden, Jabal Sheard. I want to save some of that money when you can get a cheap asset who should have the talent and the youth on his side to be a developmental and developable asset for your team.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question about that. Megan, anything else from the tweet population there?
Seth says, yeah, I want DeSean Jackson if they have no plans in taking Watkins at four.
Well, I don't know if they have no plans in taking Watkins at four, but I don't – answer me this, Nathan.
Yes.
Does DeSean Jackson actuate – Sammy Watkins to you? In other words, if you get him, you now don't want or need a player who comes in as a rookie, who comes in as a bigger target, who has different skill sets that I think he brings to the table as a receiver than DeSean Jackson, who has tremendous skill sets, but they're different guys.
They're totally different guys, but I think it would in the sense that you just paid Andrew Hawkins to be your slot receiver, and you're not going to be running four wide receivers all the time. Plus, oh, by the way, you have a Pro Bowl tight end and Jordan Cameron, who's a good pass catcher. I just think that would be overkill at that point. You're going to probably choose a wide receiver in the draft or DeSean Jackson, and my guess would be they are going to choose a wide receiver in the draft. Wanted to leave everybody with one tweet today. As you know, we've heard a lot of negative buzz on Teddy Bridgewater. We heard just earlier Gerard Cherry saying that the pro day mattered. John Middlecoff, who's a former NFL scout, he said, and talking to people around the NFL on Bridgewater, buzz is all negative. Scouts were already down. Pro day really raised red flag. So he's somebody who could be falling as we approach this draft day scenario.
And it could work.
I don't agree, by the way, John Middlecoff.
I know you're not. Your mind isn't going to be changed. And by the way, I'm not as down on him as others. I just don't see him as that elite top five. That's where I've been gauging my response about him. All right, we want to thank Jim Donovan, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, for being with us. Sal Palantonio, ESPN. Wonderful from both of those guys. Wonderful contributions to the show. Gentlemen, we thank you so much. Megan Rock for the tweets throughout the show. Thank you. And for reading a couple of those for us. And then we're going to have the Browns Daily Wrap, a written highlight of the show that Megan's going to put together that will be posted later today on ClevelandBrowns.com. Jason Gibbs, our tremendous producer. Gerard Cherry, thank you. And you could stay tuned for Hooley and Gerard. That comes up next. Nathan, glad to have you back.
It's great to be back. I'm very happy to be back here. In the CBD studios out here in Berea. I'm looking forward to a fun week.
All right, and thank you, listeners, as always. And for Nathan, I'm Vic, saying we'll talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.